Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I am your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today we're going to talk about Jamie Foxx, the clone of Jamie Foxx, Attack of the Clones. We're going to talk about They Cloned Tyrone, a film he was in on Netflix. For just a couple minutes, we're going to recap some of the clone conspiracies, because we did a show about this on the bonus feed, on the Patreon feed a couple months ago. And if you don't know, there's all these conspiracies that Jamie Foxx is now a human clone. All right. What happened was he was hospitalized for weeks way back in April of 23 while he was filming a different Netflix movie called Back in Action down in Georgia. We all know the devil is down in Georgia playing that fiddle. If you've ever been to a steakhouse, you know this. And if you haven't heard the making of that song, Charlie Daniels once said that he didn't know where the lyrics came from. They just came to him. Add it to the list. Add it to the list of celebrities and artists telling us that they channel information from another realm, from another entity, all the way through Aleister Crowley, right? He dictated the Book of the Law through AWOS, going way back to Joseph Smith, who channeled the lyrics for the Book of Mormon from the alien Moroni, going back to John Dee and Edward Kelly, who channeled the Enochian language from the angels. Okay. Charlie Daniels dead, by the way, had a stroke just like Jamie Foxx allegedly had in April. All right. Illuminate confirmed. I don't know. It's a choose your own adventure. How crazy of a conspiracy person do you want to be? Anyways, we did that bonus show where we dug deeper into Jamie Foxx and all the conspiracies about his, you know, medical incident. We talked about the allegations of T.I. You know, T.I. was saying that Diddy was melting Jamie Foxx's brain with lithium. Then we talked about Kanye West, who basically said a similar thing, that they're trying to melt his brain with lithium. And we start thinking about Michael Jackson, what all he went through. There's a lot going on in the entertainment industry that we don't know about. And Jamie Foxx, I think, made mention to the lithium idea. We had the stabby-jabby allegations, of course. Mike Tyson said, if they don't want us to know by now, they don't want us to know. During the hospitalization of Jamie Foxx, his daughter, Corinne, wrote, update from the family, sad to see how the media runs wild. Because back then, there was all these allegations saying he was blind, he was paralyzed, all this stuff. And his daughter wrote, sad to see how the media runs wild. My dad's been out of the hospital for weeks, recuperating. In fact, he was playing pickleball yesterday. Thanks for everyone's prayers and support. You sure about that? You sure about that? No, he was not playing pickleball. He was still jacked up in the hospital bed. Let's see here. What else do we got? Oh, and he didn't send any photos out on social media. He sent, I think there was one Instagram message on a black screen of text, like, you know, thank you for the thoughts and prayers, that kind of thing. Still hasn't told us what happened. And this is the most recent statement I read from him. It says, I just didn't want you to see me like that. I want you to see me laughing, having a good time, partying, cracking a joke, doing a movie, a television show, bagging young white girls. No, I'm just kidding. Threw that in there. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Media takeout is they were making fun of him because apparently he's got a type. I don't know. I just didn't want you to see me with tubes running out of me and trying to figure out if I was going to make it through. Which I think that is probably a publicity thing. A lot of handlers and agents probably say, hey, you don't want people to see you when you're weak. That really chips away at the old leading man movie roles. So if you want to put on your rational cap, maybe not, right? Maybe nothing crazy. Maybe he just didn't want to show an image of himself. I don't know. But he said he was never blind. He was never paralyzed. He said he went to hell and back. That was the words he used. So he was down in Georgia, went to hell and back. We got a lot of devil symbolism here. We got a lot of death and rebirth symbolism here. Dare I say it's not the same kind of death and rebirth ritual as you see from a lot of these other celebrities. You know, Ye went through a more formal death and rebirth symbolism, as did Doja Cat. We talked about her, again, on a bonus show. I know people get mad at the bonus shows. Look, I publish 80 to 90% of my content for free. For free. I got people that want to support the show, I got to give them a reason to do it. And that's bonus content every month. Ice-T said recently, people would rather believe that Jamie is now a clone or AI than the man was just seriously sick and damn near died because he doesn't look exactly the same. You look different after a bad cold. Shake my head, weirdos. Because people were saying that the images that have surfaced since he got out of the hospital, he looks a lot different. He got out of the hospital and he said he's starting to feel like himself again. And then he dropped an anti-Semitic message on the socials. He said, I mean, this guy, it's a strange story. This is what he wrote. He wrote, they killed this dude named Jesus. What do you think they'll do to you? What? I mean, I don't know if you can read between the lines there, but he's talking about the Jewish community there. What do you think they'll do to you? And obviously the conspiracies run wild there, and you'd say, are you saying that the Jewish community somehow hospitalized you? And what are we saying here exactly? It's just weird. The guy's been tight-lipped for months, and all of a sudden he drops that one. Then he had to go on the apology tour, of course. He wrote, I want to apologize to the Jewish community and everyone who was offended by my post. I now know my choice of words has caused offense, and I'm sorry, that was never my intent. Bro, what was the intent? What are you saying? Is it the space-based lasers that got Maui? Was that a veiled warning of what was about to happen? I don't know. Anyway, he did release photos, and he does look a little different in some of them. One particular, I saw this on September 4th on Media Takeout, where a fan spotted him at a McDonald's in Los Angeles, which I think is very suspect. First off, I don't know where to start. And look, I like McDonald's. If you want my number one fast food burger, it's not In-N-Out. I know that's sacrilege to West Coasters out here. I just don't think it's that good. Give me that sleazy, slutty McDonald's burger, you know? So I get it. But when's the last time you walked into a McDonald's to order a cheese or whatever you ordered? I don't know what he ordered. Happy Meal? A Grimace Shake? When's the last time you walked into a McDonald's to order food instead of the counter? That's what Jamie Foxx did. Hey, I don't know. I don't know how the celebrities live their lives. If I was rich like Jamie Foxx, I don't know that I would be eating a whole lot of fast food. You got personal chefs. I just don't get it. But whatever, right? There's a video, and they took an image, and granted, it's a little grainy, but the point is, you see the back of his head, and he appears to not have his infamous stupid tribal tattoo. He had this awful tribal tattoo on the back of his head supposedly for his 40th birthday. Okay. But the rumor that I believe is that he had a hair transplant and he covered up the scar with this tattoo. You'd have to look it up. I'll put the images on the Instagram at Isaac Weiss. Have a like and subscribe. But the tattoo on his head appears to be gone. And wow. Wow, are we. More fire. Look, I don't know. Is he human cloned? I don't know. That seems very preposterous. Something is weird, though. And during all this drama, a movie called They Clone Tyrone drops on Netflix. During all of this, what are we even talking about? It seems like something really weird is going on here. Could it be coincidence? Could it be synchronicity? I don't know. But today I'm going to walk you through the movie, They Clone Tyrone. Yeah, that's right. Not as deep of a movie dive as I normally do, but we're going to do it nonetheless. So, is it worth... Okay, the next question is, should you watch it before you listen to this? I don't think so. I mean, I liked it. I thought it was actually... It was much better than I thought it was going to be. It was pretty good, actually. But it was 2 hours. But you know, for me... Once you get past those 90 minutes, But it was good. I actually liked it a fair amount. And who's in it? Jamie Foxx, of course. Plays a pimp named Slick Charles. John Boyega plays the main character, Fontaine. Not Tyrone. That's not his name. We're going to come back to that. We'll reveal why it's called They Clone Tyrone by the end of the movie. You know, John Boyega was in Attack of the Block, and he was Finn in all those Star Wars movies. Tiana Paris plays a yo-yo. She was in Mad Men, Dear White People, the 2021 Candyman, which I haven't seen yet. Kiefer Sutherland shows up out of nowhere. He's the bad guy. David Alan Greer also showed up out of nowhere. He was the preacher. Very minor role. I didn't even recognize him when I watched it. And it was directed by Jewel Taylor. It was his debut film. Said it's inspired by They Live, a movie we covered here on this show. Of course, John Carpenter, his critiques of capitalism and revealing the true lizard shape-shifting people that walk among us. It Follows and Groundhog's Day, the classic. Bill Murray, Punxsutawney, P.A., all right, plot spoilers coming, so if you're that sensitive, come back. But like I said, I don't know. If you haven't seen it by now, you probably don't want to see it. So you're not going to ruin anything. It's pretty good, though. I mean, I would definitely watch it. I don't know if it matters what I tell you. I mean, you kind of know where the story's going in a way. Okay, starts out. There's a guy talking about how he saw Tupac and Michael Jackson. So immediately... We're in Conspiracyville. And then immediately, I thought, oh my God. You know, there's rumors of clones of Tupac and Michael Jackson. There's rumors that they're both still alive. Michael Jackson wanted to build a big, giant 50-foot robot AI of himself in the desert to walk around the Nevada desert. But right off the bat, I'm already in Conspiracyville. I said, holy crap, what is this? Then the gas station in the town, I think the town's called Glen. It's in my notes somewhere. I'll find it. We'll get there. But in this little town, I say little town, it's, inner city, ghetto type environment. And at the gas station, the corner store, I guess, is more appropriate. I'm using my suburban language here. It's more of like a suburban store or a corner store. They sell this soda called Soma. S-O-M-A. And even on the ad for it, it says Soma, right? Well, if you're a conspiracy theorist, as you are, you'll know that Soma was the drug used in Aldous Huxley's Brave New World novel. Brave New World is a story about a utopian society where they outlaw monogamy, families, no more privacy, tons of surveillance, and tons of this drug called Soma. It's supposed to keep people numbed out, to suppress all the emotions and feelings of being a human with anxiety and stress and all that stuff. Which you can, you know, if you've got anxiety and stress, you know where to go. Go to betterhelp.com / Illuminati Watcher. Let's see here. So these Huxleys, they were quite the bunch, right? Thomas Huxley was called Darwin's Bulldog because he was very much into the evolutionary theories of Charles Darwin. H.G. Wells studied under Thomas Huxley. And of course, Thomas Huxley was Aldous Huxley's grandfather. Now, Aldous Huxley, who of course wrote the Brave New World book with the Soma drug in it, was also the guy who wrote The Doors of Perception. This influenced the whole Beatnik generation, people like Tim Leary, to try psychedelics and ascend to higher levels of consciousness. It's what The Doors, you know, Jim Morrison's band, that's what The Doors means. It means The Doors of Perception. Of course, Jim Morrison's dad was the admiral in the Gulf of Tonkin, the event that sparked the false flag event that sparked the Vietnam War. And he's tied into that whole Laurel Canyon scene and all the intelligence agencies and all that stuff. Aldous Huxley was an occultist. He practiced ritual magic. He was friends with Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley was the one that got Huxley to do psychedelics, mescaline, which is what had him inspired him to write The Doors of Perception. Aldous's brother Julian once wrote that the basic element in cultural transmission and information are psychological. It's all part of the technocracy. They think that they know how to get into the mind of the masses and steer the will of the masses. You see how ritual magic ties in to these evolutionary biologists and scientists' thoughts. Because Julian was an evolutionary biologist and a eugenicist. Something of a trend you observe when you get into conspiracies and clones and all this stuff. You have to understand the mind of these people, like Jonas Salk. So Fontaine, I think he's a drug dealer, right? And he sees a guy on his turf selling drugs and or something, I don't know, and he beats him up. And the guy getting beat up is like, hey, wait till I tell Isaac. I said, what? So Isaac is apparently the rival drug dealer. And, you know, foreshadowing. Then Fontaine goes to the corner store and he grabs a 40 on malt liquor. He gets some scratchers. There's a homeless alcoholic guy named Frog sitting out front of the corner store just drinking. He's got a little empty cup. Fontaine walks by and pours some of the 40 in there. But you hear Frog say, he's kind of incoherently rambling, and he says, it's in the water. Well, if you zoom out and think about what he's saying here, a guy named Frog says, it's in the water. This is surely a reference to Alex Jones, right? The turning the frickin' frogs gay through the water, remember? Let's see what else we got. Okay, we find out Fontaine's brother Ronnie is dead. Then we meet Jamie Foxx's character, Slick Charles. He's a pimp. Actually, very, very hilarious take here. But he owes Fontaine some money, so Fontaine goes to shake him down. That's actually a great role. Jamie Foxx really crushed it in this movie. It's actually really well done. The more I think about the movie, it was pretty good. So Fontaine shakes him down, gets his money, and he's leaving, and he gets in his car, and you know, here comes Isaac. Or Isaac's boys, I'm not sure. They come up, they shoot him. Presumably, Fontaine is dead. But then he wakes up. It's a new day. What? He visits Slick Charles, and Slick Charles says, and I quote, after seeing him alive, he says, this guy must have sold his soul to the devil. And then you also hear how Fontaine got shot 6 times, okay? 666, right? The devil. We already talked about the symbolism of Jamie Foxx and Georgia going, dying down in Georgia, going to hell and back. So there's one more. Also, you hear in this town, the DJ on the local radio station is DJ Strangelove, a reference to Kubrick with Dr. Strangelove, remember? Lots of conspiracy symbolism to be found in this movie. So Charles, Slick Charles, Fontaine, and Yo-Yo, they meet up and they all find this trap house. And like, oh, the trap house has a break room because they're going to find Isaac, right? And it's got a break room. And it's got an elevator that they get on. And we know that the elevator is also symbolic of the devil. That's right. Why do we know this? Well, it's one of those topics I'd like to learn more about. In fact, I think I tweeted, somebody made a reference to it that I almost found the exact source of why this is a belief. I think it was it James Shelby Downard? Either way, you find the symbolism often. In fact, the M. Night Shyamalan movie is a Shyamalan Ding Dong movie. It has a movie called The Devil, and it's about an elevator. Prince's song, "Let No One's Gonna Let the Elevator Take Us Down," that's referring to the devil, as per L.A. Reid. And guess where Prince died? On the floor in front of his elevator, on top of some astrological symbols. So, let's see. So, they get on this elevator. They go down, of course, to every ritual. You got to go underground. And they find a lab. They find Fontaine's dead body on the table. So, now we see there's two Fontaines. And they get to... They leave there. They're bugged out. They go to Yo-Yo's grandma's house. And on the wall, you can see an owl. I'll put that image on the Instagram too. You also see a periodic table of elements, a strange poster to have on the wall. But what that references is chemistry, and what that references is alchemical transformation, alchemy. Because chemistry, as opposed to alchemy, is just science without the magic intent behind it. Okay, so they're telling people and they want to go back and check it out again. So Fontaine and the guys break into the same trap house. And alas, no more lab. Where's the lab? And when they break into the house, you see on the wall some artwork of some butterflies. Yes, symbolizing the MK Ultra mind control operations, the Project Monarch sub-program that we're told existed. Which, oh, fun fact, Stanley Kubrick, we talked about him a minute ago, in The Shining, if you read my book, Kubrick's Code, you know this. In The Shining, one of the posters shows the, says Monarch on it. It's in a scene where you see the twin girls. Because the Project Monarch had to do with, again, eugenics, with messing around with bloodlines and stuff. So they're all hanging out in the town of Glen, and they're eating some of the local fried chicken that you see a lot of advertisements for, and they start laughing. And Slick Charles realizes, he says, "Wait a minute, I ate some powder back in that lab, and I had similar reactions as to what everyone's having with this chicken." And that's when you realize, oh, there's powder in the chicken. What's going on in Glen? Well, Slick Charles thinks it's a conspiracy. He says it's a conspiracy like 9/11 and Berenstain Bears. Of course, Berenstain Bears being the Mandela effect. Spelled Berenstain. You know, and it's funny, on my notes, I spelled it Berenstain Bears the correct way. Now they're saying it's spelled Berenstain Bears. And you know 9/11 is a topic. In fact, we're coming up on 9/11. I did 5 episodes on 9/11. Was it last year or was it 21? You got to check those out. They're one of my, I think my second most downloaded show of all time. Anyway, they later figure out that this powder is in the hair straightener products as well. Later on, they see the homeless guy again, and the homeless guy, and they're, the homeless guy says, "When you got to get out of Babylon, where are you going to go?" And because they're looking for, what are they looking for? They're looking for another guy or something. I don't know. And the homeless guy says, when you're looking to get out of Babylon, where do you go? So they go to the Mount Zion Church. Now, Babylon is quite the interesting... Babylon is an interesting idea because we're talking about the mystery Babylon, okay? Bill Cooper asserted that this Illuminati group, they all believe in this ancient pagan sort of religion. So they go to the Mount Zion Church. And the implication here is that the mystery Babylon Illuminati types are the ones running this weird experiment in this city. They go to the Mount Zion Church. Boom, they find another elevator with which they go down, because going down is the only option for this elevator, of course. Going down to hell is the symbolism here. Or going underground as a ritual, like you see in movies like Deadpool or Alice in Wonderland. They find another lab. They steal some of the worker, hazmat suits. And they find a map of their entire town of Glen. There's propaganda posters all over the place that says, "Unity starts here," and "Winning the race of the future." This is all eugenics, utopia talk, like you would find in Brave New World. And they're studying test subjects they start fighting when they listen to rap music. They show a girl getting the Ludovico technique with her eye wired open like in Clockwork Orange. And they even talk about Clockwork Orange. They talk about the conspiracy going on in the town, and they even mention Clockwork Orange later on. Lots of Kubrickian influence here. They find... I wonder if they read my book. I wonder if they read Kubrick's Code and they decided to name a character Isaac. I don't know. That'd be pretty cool if it was true. They find certain people being used and built in these clone tanks, including, of course, Slick Charles, played by Jamie Foxx. I'm going to put that image on the Instagram. And to be fair, they clone most everybody. Fontaine, of course. But, of course, the theory is that Jamie Foxx has a clone. And, I mean, what are the odds that a movie would be released where they do, in fact, show him as a clone? So they get out of this lab, and their minds are blown. They're trying to figure out what to do. They see mind control stuff happening everywhere, not just at the fried chicken restaurant or the gas station or the strip club. They go to the strip club. And then they meet up with some suits. They cross paths with the Illuminati here, and they explain the whole thing. I'm gonna play the clip for you, but take a listen to what they say. This is where Kiefer Sutherland shows up. They say it's experiments for the greater good. Take a listen.
Y'all torturing people down there.
I'm not torturing anybody. We're researching, experimenting, doing science. For the greater good, I might add.
Oh, so you Kevin Bacon.
Hollow man, motherfucker.
Telling lies in America?
America was an experiment. A half-baked idea cooked up by aristocratic ideologues living in mansions built by slaves. And when they checked out, they left us with the bill. A country constantly at war with itself. No common ground, no dialogue, no peace. If we're all on the same page, and we're not ripping each other's heads off. And all of this has a chance to work. And that's what we strive for. Keeping the United States united.
By cloning pimps and drug dealers?
Everybody's got a part to play. In order for us to continue our work down here, this place has to have a certain flavor, quality of life. Je ne sais quoi.
The fuck is you talking about, man? We're in a trap.
And you use us to keep it that way.
Well, if we were to pull you all off the street, there'd be 3 Starbucks here by Tuesday. And there goes our control setting. So, yeah, we use you to keep the place, well, undisturbed. Let's us experiment on the good people here in peace.
So the only reason I exist is to keep the place fucked up?
Oh, Fontaine. Don't go glass half empty on me now. You're a goddamn patriot. As far as I'm concerned, you're Captain America. So, what now?
Is that a trick question?
No, ma'am. We've got a choice to make. And the way I see it, you've only got 2 options. Option 1, Chester here kills you. Option 2, You do nothing. You go back to your regular lives. Do what you do best. Look the other way.
It says America was an experiment built by slave owner aristocrats, and now they've checked out. And now everyone's fighting. So this experiment they are doing is to keep find a way to keep people united. They need the trap to keep it. They need to keep divisiveness in the trap so they can do the experimenting. They said if we didn't have all the fighting, Starbucks would come in and take over. Then they can't do the experiments, right? Pretty messed up. We also hear that there's a phrase, Olympia Black, in which you can take over someone's free will and their body. Fontaine gets apathetic. He gives up to the trap life, and he's like, I'm just going to do it. Whatever. I don't even care anymore. Yo-Yo, she cares. She's trying to send a report to the Washington Post about what's going on. But, of course, it gets intercepted because everything in the town of Glenn is surveilled. Much like Brave New World. Fontaine and Charles, it's like an inverted Brave New World is kind of what the story is. Fontaine and Slick Charles, they're looking for Yo-Yo because once they realize she's trying to mail off notification to the Post, they abduct her. So they approach Isaac. They approach Isaac for the answers. Of course they do. And they want help infiltrating the lab because they want to go rescue Yo-Yo. So they hatch a plan where they're going to shoot Fontaine again so that the lab guys can come and grab Fontaine's body as they do so they can take him down to the lab and wire him up to the clone or whatever it is they do. So Fontaine gets shot by Isaac. He appears dead. He goes underground to the lab, so a little bit of a death going underground ritual to be reborn. He goes underground, and you know they eventually, Slick Charles and the crew from and the whole town, they finally fight back, and they show up, and they get underground of the lab basically, and Fontaine finds, he says, I want to talk to the guy who made a deal with the devil. That's his words again, another with the Faustian bargain stuff with the deal with the devil, and. Turns out it's his brother. It's his dead brother. And he says they've been sequencing genetics. And now they know how to make a perfected society. And they're eventually going to replace all the black people with white people. And he says assimilation is better than annihilation. I don't know if they're saying literally they're going to replace them with white people. Or they're going to replace the black culture. I don't know. But that is the phrase he uses. He says, assimilation is better than annihilation. And it's interesting to me when you zoom out a little bit and think about, when we talked about the Maui lasers theory, one of the theories I floated was one in which there is a theory that the rich Illuminati white folks wanted to buy out Lahaina, and the native Hawaiians are like, no, this is our land. This is where our family's from. You're not getting it. And the capitalist structures are like, look, assimilation is better than annihilation. And the natives are like, no. So they're like, fine, laser beam them. That's one theory. And I think it's interesting that all this stuff happened around the same time. I think there was another reference earlier in the episode where I was talking about Maui. What was it? Oh, Jamie Foxx tweeted it. He says, they killed this dude named Jesus. What do you think they'll do to you? And Marjorie Taylor Greene infamously said that space-based lasers were by the you-know-whos. Is there some anti-Semitism baked into that? I mean, sure. Is it part of a theory, though? I mean, you got to consider it, right? And then, look, here's the thing. I don't think the Illuminati is one particular race. I think it could be multiple. I'm sure there's a lot of rich white guys in there, though. Come on. Who are we kidding? So anyway, they end up you know, Slick Charles and Fontaine, they end up killing all these perpetrators, and they go to the, you know, the story's wrapping up now. They save their town. They take out the perpetrators. They go to the news, and the news reports it as a conspiracy in all the major cities, because all the major cities are going through it. They've all these major cities have been deceived by the Illuminati to live these lives. And now they're fighting back to get their free will. And of course, this ties into all the theories about hip-hop music and how it made this sort of violent U-turn in the 90s. You know, it used to be a very black empowerment message with Public Enemy and such. And then gangster rap came and just blew all that out of the water. And that's all we've had ever since. The credits roll. And you see the same story unfolding in Los Angeles. And guess what that guy's name is? That guy's name is Tyrone. And he goes through the whole same cycle, the whole same day that Fontaine did. And he's watching the news about this conspiracy in all the major cities about clones. And on the news, you see a guy walking around and it's Tyrone. And the guy sitting on the couch next to Tyrone looks over and says, "Isn't that you, Tyrone?" And that's when you realize, oh, that's why it's called They Clone Tyrone. So in conclusion, was there a ritual element here? I mean, yes, there's a little bit of the death and rebirth, but I think more of the storyline here is that there are forces working to keep communities divided. And for what purpose? I think it's because, you know, it's like busting up unions. You can't have the labor union united against management, because then who's going to be their slave master to tell them what to do? The management, the slave masters, they've got to justify their value, and you know they get paid the most and all that. So of course they're going to try to keep you under the thumb. Also, let's talk about zoom back out and talk about Jamie Foxx as a clone. When you talk about rituals, you can't ignore the Dave Chappelle ritual that he exposed. He said how there's some weird ritual going on in Hollywood where they emasculate the black man by making black men, strong black men, wear dresses and feminizing them. Martin Lawrence was the example he gave. Well, guess who else did that? That was Jamie Foxx. I'm young enough to remember. I watched In Living Color from the first episode. He was the Shanae character, a female. He go, hey, remember Shanae? I haven't seen it since I was a kid. I think that was the name, wasn't it, Shanae? I should have looked that up. It's been too long. I haven't seen it. Now, on September 5th, I told you we were going to pick on Jamie Foxx a little bit more. There was an article on Media Takeout where it said he's back. He's feeling like himself again. He's dating young blonde women. Well, he was spotted out with this girl named Alice. And it says that he started dating her last year. And when he started dating her, she deleted all of her social media, which is very strange. But again, I don't know how famous people operate. Maybe that's the deal. Like, Leo DiCaprio is kind of a weird, secret-y guy, too. He's still walking around with masks and hats on. Like, he's like, doesn't want the attention. That's so cool, man. He's so cool. I don't know how you do it. I wear that mask for about 30 seconds, and I'm miserable. Ugh. I'm not famous though. Maybe he loves it. Maybe he's like, oh, thank God I can get a break from all these mouth breathers like Isaac Weishaupt worshiping me. But yeah, Jamie Foxx, that was the article in which they said he had a stroke. Allegedly. They're heavily pointing toward the stroke theory. Now, officially, let's talk about cloning. Can they clone a human? That's the question. Donald Marshall says so. He has a very outlandish story. Could be true. I don't know. It's hard to believe. Unless you're deep down the... I talked to someone this last week. Shout out to Dirk. I talked to a guy, and in our conversation, it came out, a different guy. I don't remember who said this. Doesn't matter. They were saying that they had the best perspective, because I'm talking to normies, right? And the guy said, I think people who don't believe in any conspiracy theories are nuts. And I think that people who believe in every conspiracy theory are nuts. And that's the truth. It's got to be somewhere in the middle. And the Donald Marshall theory, that's more on the, you got to be pretty heavy down the red pill path. I'm not saying he's wrong or making it up. I'm just saying it's a lot to believe that there's these underground, that they, through when people go to sleep, they do this REM consciousness transfer and they clone you. And when you're cloned, all the Illuminati meet up with your body in a room and they take advantage of it. I mean, it's possible. It's possible man walked on the moon in the 60s. It's possible. Anyway, officially, scientists claim that you cannot clone a human. It's not possible. I'm going to go to a very, you know, WebMD article. And it says that they've cloned a human embryo and extracted stem cells from it, but it's not the same as a whole ass human clone. Now, in 97, they cloned a sheep, Dolly. That's the most famous clone. But wait till we're done with this little article. It says, now, researchers in South Korea and the University of Michigan have cloned a human embryo. This is not cloning to make a genetically matched baby, but cloning for research purposes, also called therapeutic cloning or research cloning. This new development means that therapeutic cloning, the ability to create human clones for research purposes, is no longer a theory, but a reality. And it's sure to reignite the controversy of whether to ban all cloning or to allow some cloning for therapeutic purposes. Therapeutic cloning is not new. Scientists have used the technology to cure a variety of diseases in mice. Scientists have studied the potential uses of human stem cells called in from embryos left over in fertility clinics. That's another conspiracy here, folks. It's soapbox time. People think that, like, the religious right has an issue with the pro-choice situation, right? But, and then they'll protest all day long outside of Planned Parenthood and abortion clinics and all that. But the fertility clinics, what do you call it? Like the is it in vitro? I don't even know the details. I think it's in vitro or the fertility clinics or whatever they're called. Like they shoot out tons of these things in the hopes that maybe one of them creates a baby. So, I mean, if you want to talk about, anyway, I don't want to get too crazy here because I didn't prepare to talk about this, so I don't want to sound stupid. But I think a lot of embryos get wasted in trying to do this sort of unnatural impregnation thing. I don't know. Whatever. Cool story, Isaac. In this new study, researchers collected 242 eggs donated by 16 South Korean volunteers. Women also donated some cells from their ovary. The scientists then used a technique called somatic nuclear transfer to remove the genetic material, which contains the nucleus of each egg, and replace it with nucleus from the donor's ovarian cell. Now, how interesting. They call it somatic nuclear transfer, and we saw at the beginning of They Clone Tyrone a soda called Soma, which references back to Brave New World, Aldous Huxley. So, I mean, maybe... Do you think They Clone Tyrone, the soda named Soma, is related to this, somatic nuclear transfer? I don't know. I think it's more likely it's referencing the Brave New World idea. But it is interesting. Interesting synchronicity, if you will. Now, the National Human Genome Research Institute says that there's been clones of rhesus monkeys, cats, dogs, deers, horses, mules, rabbits, rats, sheep, and cattle. They've done all those animals, and we're supposed to believe they've never cloned a human, and it's not possible. Bull crap. Back in 2008, we're going 15 years ago, the FDA said that meat from cloned animals is safe to eat. And better yet, you know, this is what you got to love about the American health and nutrition system here. How do we know if we're eating cloned meat? We don't. You would think that they got to tell you that on the label. Nope. Nope. All them other countries, the European countries, they make them put all this crap on the label. In America, no, 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 no. In fact, I think it always drives me nuts. They had, like, Skittles, I guess. I don't know. Skittles will have a product line for the European market that doesn't have the artificial colors that give you Alzheimer's or whatever. And in America, they keep it in there. They'll purposely make it with the poison in America. Because Big Pharma runs all this. That's why. But no, they don't have to tell you if it's cloned meat at all. For 15 years, you've been eating cloned meat. Probably. I don't know. How do you know? It used to be illegal. In the 90s, it was illegal. So we're supposed to believe that they can't clone humans, even though they're cloning all these other animals. And even if that's true, you know damn well they're trying it. Even if they can't do it now, they're going to figure it out. And if you believe that, oh, well, in America, they would never do that. Our morals are too high, which is not true, but fine. We have got good morals, though. It's, you know, good's relative. The Chinese, they might do it. They don't give a damn. In fact, there was a scientist in 2019 in China that edited the genes of babies and went to prison for it. I mean, I guess that kind of defends China a little bit and says, hey, they put them in prison. They're not cool with it, but they're definitely doing it. And what's kind of weird is that he edited their embryos so that they could be protected from HIV. That was the genetic sort of cloning they did. And those babies were born in 2018. And it is a little strange that when the thing from 2020 kicked off, I don't know if you remember, there were lots of people and conspiracy theorists talking about how there was some weird similarity to HIV in the thing from 2020. Some kind of reaction that was the same or something. I don't know. You'd have to, you know, there's people that geek out on that stuff. So let's zoom all the way back out and wrap it up. Is Jamie Foxx a clone now? Seems crazy. It does seem crazy. But it also seems crazy in the sense that if you look at, you know, I always like to pick on the free market capitalism a little bit. But that's what gives us stuff like this. Because if you're Jamie Foxx's agent, handler, whatever, the movie company, and you know this guy is one of the top, I don't know, what is he, top 10 actors, top 5 actors of all time? At this point, leading man, this guy prints money out. And if he died, of course, if cloning was something you could do, you'd be interested in cloning him and say, well, I mean, if we can make a guy look and act just like him and no one knows the difference, no harm, no foul. We'll resume printing this money. It's a wild theory. But especially with the tattoo thing is weird. The back of his head's missing the tattoo, but the video is a little grainy. Dude filled it from his calculator at the McDonald's. It's weird he's going into McDonald's. It's just a weird story from start to finish here, and it's not done yet. We'll keep an eye on it, of course. So, yeah, Jamie Foxx. Is he a clone? The jury's still out, in my opinion, but hey, you choose your own reality, as I always say. All right, folks, thanks for listening to the show. If you want to help the show, if you want to support the show, you can leave a 5-star review. We got to combat all these 1-star folks. All right, we got negative trolls out there. They pick one episode, and they're like, oh, he's always crying. He wants people to join his Patreon. Yeah, I do. I want you to join my Patreon. It's true. Sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I make all this great bonus content. I want you to hear it. I want you to support the show. I want you to enjoy ad-free experience. Anyway, I need you to drop a 5-star review if you like the show. That's free. That's not a grifter alley. That's you helping me out. You enjoy my time? I give you an hour every week or whatever it is. Give me 5 seconds. Mash that 5-star. Tell me you love me. I've actually read a bunch. I always say, hey, I'm not reading them anymore. That's a lie. I've been reading them. And I saw some really good ones, some positive ones the other day. So thank you. If you dropped one in the last 3 months, thank you, because I read them all. I caught up. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcast. In fact, I'll keep rambling so you can do it right now. All right? I know what you're doing. You're walking around the grocery store, or you're mowing the lawn, or you're dusting, you're vacuuming maybe, cleaning that house. I know BP's up there cleaning somewhere. I want you to take a second. I built this, took me hours and hours. I watched the movie, put all these notes together, recording it. You're going to pick up your little phone, open up. Hopefully it's Apple Podcasts. That's where the ones that matter the most. But whatever little platform, Spotify, I don't know. Does Spotify even have a rating system? And you mash that little 5-star. And if you got the extra time, if you're at work at a dreaded day job trying to waste your day away, write me a little note and I'll maybe read it. Maybe. But you got to drop that 5-star, because I got 1-star haters out there. You know, I mean, I make fun of free feed losers. I still love free feed losers. But it's the 1-star whiners. They're the worst. And I need my 5-star folks to get out there and make it happen. Okay. Sorry. But I do appreciate the 5-stars. Till next time, stay woke.